going on, I'm telling you, the greatest way, come on, to get a hold of God and just to refocus your life is through the power of worship. Amen? And so, man, y'all look so good when you worship. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. It's been such a great morning. What a great new song. Amen? Boy, I enjoyed that today. And I want to invite you tonight, if you've never been a part of Elevate City Nights, it is a special night for us that we do really every other month, I think, is kind of our rhythm for it. And it's an extended night of worship. We'll have a message tonight, and as well with that, and I'm telling you, it's going to be incredible, and we have, really, it's one of my favorite times that we just, we don't have multiple services tonight, and so we just get to hang out and linger a little bit longer and worship, and so I just want to invite you, man, and it's an opportunity really just to get a hold of God and get a little bit closer to Him, and so I want to invite you out tonight. We have childcare, and our ministry for our children is in full effect tonight. They have their own experience tonight with us, and so you can bring your kids, and it'll be an incredible experience. So if you've never been a part, I just want to invite you to do that. Also, I have a quick just building update. I know y'all were praying for me this week, and I felt the prayers, so I want to thank you for that, first of all. And we met on Wednesday, and it was a good meeting, but we could not come to an agreement on a price, and that is okay. And one of the things I've committed to God, and I've committed to you as your pastor, is, man, we're going to lead by principle, not by pressure. And amen, everybody. And so we're just not going to lead that way here. And so regardless, something could still happen down the road, but we are shifting gears, so to speak, and we are moving on to the next thing. Everybody say the next thing. And we are just really honestly opening up our heart to the idea of what God wants to do next. And we meet with our team this week, and we're going to go over a few things, and we'll come back and share some updates as we get them. But we've got some buildings, some other things. There's other opportunities for us. So I just want you to know I'm not tripping. And so it's all good. Everybody say it's all good. And so I'm not defeated. I'm none of those things. I just want God, what God wants. Amen? How many know God's will is a lot better than ours? And so God is the master planner. He knows exactly what's happening. So we're just going to trust in His will. And then secondly, I just want to, man, just give a big shout out to my beautiful wife. Yesterday we celebrated 11 years of marriage. And yeah. Thank you for that. And babe, I just want you to know how much I love you. I just want to honor you publicly today, and I am just telling you, she makes me 10,000 times better than I could ever be on my own, and I promise you that, and without her, I would not be standing here today, and so I love you so much. I honor you, and think the world of you, and I can't wait for the next 11 years. It's going to be amazing, and so just want to honor my wife. Amen? Well, if you already haven't, grab your message notes, and we're going to end this series today. And I have enjoyed this series because, this has been a real practical series for us as a church, and I think something that's been very helpful. We've had some feedback from some of you on this and just talking about how this has just been practical in the sense of just helping us. And I think it's so important that, you know, you can get inspired, but inspiration is not enough. Inspiration isn't going to change your life. It can motivate you, but it's not going to change your life. And so we need the keys. We need the steps within our life in order to help make the changes in which we need. Amen? And so most people, you can chop this down. We're going to get right into it. Have uphill hopes, but they have also downhill habits. There's a lot of things we're hoping for, but sometimes the things that we're hoping for are outweighed by the habits that we struggle with on a day-to-day basis. And so the hope really throughout this series that, man, that we would get a hold of God and we would get a hold of His will and His purpose and find out, man, what it is that maybe we need to let go of. And really the idea behind habits is Aristotle said it best, that we are what we repeatedly do. And so if you always do what you've always done, then you always have what you've always had. All right, and so how many know that at some point we need to make a shift, we need to make a change somewhere if we're going to experience what it is that God has for us? And so, as I said, you know, inspiration is great. You'll get a lot of great inspiration on Sundays in church and that sort of thing, and that's why we really preface a lot that you get connected in a small group. We're on a break right now, and for the month, coming into the month of May, we give this time off for our leaders, but then we come back in the 1st of June and have our summer semester. And but again, it's a good motivator, but it's not going to change your life, because if you don't know what to do on Monday, it didn't serve you real well. And how many know you got to be able to get up on Monday and know, man, how to practically apply the things in which you're learning? And so it's important. And it's why I think it's so important that we give practical Christianity. I don't need the Greek word for it. I just need you to tell me what it is. If I'm drowning in the ocean somewhere, I don't need the Greek word for a lifesaver. I just need you to throw me one. Amen, everybody? And so just trying to make it simple and easy for us. And I just believe we will do so much better in our journey, in our life, if we form godly, healthy habits. This has been our theme verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Everybody say, from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Everybody say, quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. And really, that's the hope of our church, is that we would come alongside within your life and help to produce that as well. And my question would be, has the best been brought out of you yet? Has the best been brought out of you yet? And probably the answer is no, I'm probably not there. I've got some room to work. I've got some areas that I need to improve. I got to continue to grow and get better. Amen? And so I think we're all there. And it doesn't happen through inspiration. It's why we are passionate as a church in helping people take next steps in their life. It's why we encourage people next Sunday to jump in growth track, to begin to figure out what it is that God has placed within your life to do, because this life will never make sense until you find and discover your purpose. So we have a lot of Christians in the world that are just wandering because they don't know their purpose. They don't know their gifts. 87% of Christians in this nation do not know their gifts or their purpose. That's a lot of people in the world today that are walking around really without sight, without vision. But God came so that we would have vision, so that we would have life, and that we would have direction. I believe one of the greatest responsibilities for us, and one of the greatest responsibilities we have to help pastor you, is to help take you on this journey. And so that's what Growth Track is all about. And so that starts back up 11:15 during our second service next week. So you can come and worship and then leave your kids back there with our kids ministry and be and participate back in our Growth Track room. And you can get more info even today at our Next Steps table. So, and it goes on to say, in order to develop well-formed maturity in you. And so each week we've been talking about just healthy habits that God has for us, because everything worthwhile is uphill. It's going to take effort. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some strength, but it's doable. Everybody say it's doable. And so over the last few weeks, here's a few things we covered. Habit number one was that we focus on first things, because first things has the ability to set the tone for the rest. And so honoring God with the first things, honoring God with the first of your day, and so on. Habit two, Pastor Rob did a great job preaching on this. He talked about controlling your thoughts. And it's interesting, the Bible is loaded with verses on thoughts, because your and I's greatest fight in this life is going to be the battle of our mind and the thoughts that we have. How many have ever battled there? How many battled today coming in? Yeah, and so we've got to learn how to continue to overcome and how to have a healthy habit with that. And then last week, man, we had a great time last week, and we talked about habit number three is keeping our life aligned with purpose. And understanding its importance, life, again, will never make sense until we get our life in alignment with the purpose that God has for us. And so we talked a lot about that. I mean, we had a great week last week, didn't we, guys? I mean, it was awesome. And just how we ended our service and just opening back up in the area of worship. And I'm just telling you, and I'm challenging you, and God has just been even speaking to me personally, just even greater prayer, greater worship, greater devotion to him, and going even farther than where I've been. But today, I want to talk to you about habit number four, the last one of this series. And honestly, today's habit is going to help you maintain the other three. And this is important today, and I think that you're going to get a lot out of this here this morning. And that is this, if you want to jot it down, that I've got to choose my relationships carefully. Choose my relationships carefully. Listen, part of who you are is because of the people that have been in your life, good and bad. I think all of us can think about people in our life that have impacted us to some level. If you think about the relationships you've had, maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was a coach, maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was whoever, but there are relationships that have really helped to form. It was maybe a parent, and so relationships are vital. I believe this, And this next statement that I'm getting ready to share, I think is so important and something I personally believe, that relationship decisions are the most important decisions that you're going to make in this life. I really, with everything within me, I believe this, that relationships have the ability. You are who you hang with. Your friends are a photograph of your future. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I just believe relationships are vital, and we're going to talk a lot about this and how to really, I think, harness into healthy relationships that are going to challenge us and push us forward in our relationship with God. And so this is critical. We got to get this right. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:19 that a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends that he chooses. And so I just know if this is important to God, it better be important to you and I. And I touched on this a little bit last week, and so we're going to go a little bit further with it today. And here's the first thing I understand, that I've got to nurture the important relationships in my life first. I gotta figure out who it is that, man, is pushing me towards the things of God, who loves me in spite of my issues and my hang-ups and is constantly encouraging me to go farther with God. Nurturing my important relationships. And can I just say, relationships take work. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna say it again. Relationships take work. Woo! With the person next to you and say, relationships take some work. Take some work. And listen, it doesn't mean you have a bad relationship if your relationship needs some work. Like, we get on this hang up, like, if I'm going through something, well, I don't want nobody to know. Well, why? We all got the same issues, man. Just look a little different. We all jacked up. That's why we need Jesus. You know, last time I asked, the reason why I can't wait to get in here with y'all, because I know, man, I'm not the only one that's got the issues. We all got stuff that we're working on. And it's nice to be in a place together, man, where we're all on this journey together, seeking the same God, trying to figure this thing out. Amen? And for me, man, I live with an incredible angel. Bethany is awesome, and she's an amazing wife. And if you think it's easy to live with an angel, it's not. It's not. Like, she's amazing. I'm not just saying it. No sarcasm. Like, she's amazing. She's awesome, and her wings hit me a lot. Her halo blinds me through the day. I mean, she's the best wife in the world, but it takes work. Takes work. Takes work. Takes work. And guess what? It won't take care of itself. You've got to work on it. You've got to build relationship. And guess what? The grass really isn't greener on the other side. If it's greener, the water bill's higher, I promise you. The grass, let me say it this way, is only greener where you water it. And the problem is we wait oftentimes until tragedies and crisis for things to get our attention and then want to work on things. But I would encourage you, stay in the place of, man, water in the grass where you're at. Amen, everybody? And I just want to encourage even marriages here this morning to not give up. Quitting is not an option. Somebody shout amen. Amen. That I don't know how we're going to get through. And Beth and I, you know, I've shared with our church before, man, we've had long nights. We've had long nights where the coffee is on. Wee hours of the morning until we get this thing resolved and worked out. We're going to figure it out. And I just encourage us, don't quit. And one of the greatest principles I learned years ago that has helped me as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, as a leader, I think it's one of the most practical things, one of the most helpful things, and that is just simply this statement: choices lead, feelings follow. And we have too many people that are living their lives off of just emotions or feel-good things. Well, if it feels good, then I'll do it. If it feels right to do it. Man, if I did everything I felt, I'd be in jail today, like, for real. And I just know this, that, man, my choices have got to lead, and then my feelings follow. And it's important, because I'm telling you, that'll save you a lot of heartache, is just making the decision. It's easy. That, come on, the next time before you go on social media, choices lead. Oh, talk to me, somebody. Feelings follow. It's easy to let the world know. But I'm just telling you, man, choices lead, feelings follow. It's also why I think it's important that in relationships and in my marriage, why date nights are incredibly important. Because we're not just building for today, we're building for tomorrow as well. And I think the word intentional is huge in our marriages. I counsel marriages all the time, and you need to have date nights regularly. It needs to be in the schedule, needs to be on the calendar. For us, that's the way it is. And, you know, we have our love languages that's important. Bethany is a physical touch. Man, she wants the hand, holding the hand and arm around her. Like, she likes those things. For me, I'm more of an affirmation, acts of service guy. Like, love is spelled out to me when I walk home, get home in from the office, and man, the house is clean. I thought, my girl loves me. You know, thank you, Jesus. The house is clean. Glory to God. And it's hard with three kids and a dog. Now, we got a dog. Lord have mercy. He's a Saint Berdoodle, and he's 105 pounds, Saint Berdoodle. My God in heaven, it's like having a fourth kid. Like, I didn't realize what I was getting into, but he's fun. He's awesome. He's teaching me some things. I think I'm teaching him a few things, too, but it was fun. But nonetheless, man, she's keeping it. She does. She keeps it together and helps us. But that's a way that helps me in my love language. First Peter says this, chapter 4, the end of all things is near. Therefore, I love this, be clear-minded, self-controlled. Look at this, look at this. So that you can pray. I'm gonna hold off there. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. The Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was off and said, one of the greatest things that's coming against the church is prayerlessness. That we have come to a place in the American church where we think our ideas sometimes, if we're not careful, or our experiences are outweighing the level of pursuit that we are having in, or the lack of, with our prayer life with God. One of the greatest things the enemy is trying to steal from God's people is intimate time with God. If you lack intimate time with God, today is the day that we need to begin to realize and understand that you and I can only get what we need from the presence of Almighty God. You and I are not that smart. Don't care how many degrees you got. Don't care how long you've been in this race. You and I are nothing without the presence of God. And we have got to continue to see the power of prayer elevated in Jesus' name. Come on, can you say a better amen? Amen? And so it's realizing that my prayer life is everything. Prayer cannot be secondary. It must be primary. Prayer is not an event. It's a lifestyle that God wants on the inside of us. And I'm telling you, the greatest thing that the enemy will try to steal is that personal devotion. That's why one of the reasons why I love Saturday morning prayer at 9 a.m. to 10. We start on time, we end on time. Because we're seeking God, not just for us, but for a city of Fort Wayne that's lost today and without Jesus. That 60,000 people out of 380,000 people that live in Fort Wayne are only in church. Do the math. Hundreds of thousands of people today are lost and without Christ in what they call the city of churches. So my prayer has been, so God, you've got to send us and awaken us to find them and to continue to reach them. We didn't plant this church for church people. We didn't. We planted this church to reach those who don't know Jesus. And at some point, all of us have went through, you know, that door at some point that, man, we've hopefully have experienced. And if you haven't, you can experience Christ in a personal way today where God is challenging us to take what we've learned and to grow, and then we've got to tell others about it, that there's a growing up from the elementary teaching, Scripture says, to the mature, and that we've got to grow. God gives us a responsibility to grow and to steward the gift. So I just thought that was important this week, and the Bible continues to say, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. How many are thankful for the love of Jesus Christ that covers a multitude of sins? That's radical love. That's unconditional love. And I want to confront today a spirit that I believe is very present in America today, where we are in this place that I see, it's why I can barely watch the news any longer, where people just choose sides. And if I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me, then I hate you and you hate me. And I think it's ridiculous. And I believe it is nothing more than a spirit of disunity, of dissension, and of strife, and it's of the devil. And I'm just telling you today, we must love people always. Love people regardless, and show them the love of Christ. Are you here today, church? It's a spiritual battle is what we're in. The enemy is present, and we need to love. Here's the other thing I know is we've got to restore broken relationships. There are, listen, some relationships that are worth restoration. There's some friendships that are worth it. I believe the pain of fixing it is not as bad as the broken relationship itself. The Bible says in Romans 12, do not repay anyone evil for evil. If it is possible, check it out, as far as it depends on them? Talk to me. No, on who? You. Live at peace with everyone. In other words, here's what God's saying. If you can't live at peace with them, at least live at peace with yourself. And regardless of whether or not there's an interchange or an interaction of conversation, make the decision that I'm going to forgive them anyways. Forgiveness isn't saying what they did was okay. But it's giving God the permission to settle the score and not you. And last time I checked, God does a really good job at what he does. So why would I want to hang on to something, an issue, a hurt that's only going to cost me time? Because I'm telling you, man, the only person that hurts is you. You're not hurting them by withholding forgiveness. You're hurting yourself. Are you with me? Forgive. And this is another way to think about it. God, and this is sobering to think about it, God, forgive me to the level that I'm willing to forgive others. Think about that. I don't know who made this statement. I thought it was really good. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire, hoping the other person dies of smoke inhalation. Yeah. Forgive. I think it's interesting in Colossians 3:13. I love this. It says, bear with each other. Forgive. Everybody say forgive. Whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive. Everybody say forgive. As the Lord forgave you. People going to hurt you. People going to disappoint you. I think one of the best relationship choices that you and I can make is forgiveness. It's interesting to me in the Lord's Prayer. Part of the Lord's Prayer, and the disciples asked the Lord, how ought we to pray? And the Lord gave them a daily prayer to pray. And part of it is, forgive me. Forgiveness. Forgive as those for those who trespass against me. And I think it's interesting because I believe daily you and I have to forgive people. And if God is so good at forgiving us, we don't have the right to withhold it. We've got to release it. If we want forgiveness, we've got to release it as well. Amen, church? Here's the other thing I know, is we have to sever any harmful relationships. Or at the very least, maybe we need to redefine some relationships that are unhealthy. And let me just say this, you know, for those that are married, Pastor Kyle's not saying, you know, when you leave it, well, Pastor Kyle said, it's time to sever this marriage. O-V-E-R, it is over. You know what I mean? Like, no, that is not what I am saying. All right, so don't go out here saying, Pastor Kyle said the marriage. No, that's not what I said, all right? Didn't say that at all. The relationships that we have allowed in our life that are not good for you, that are not healthy, our relationships, even in our marriage, that's why they need work. Sometimes they need work outside of us. We need the counseling. We need the help, and it's okay. But some of our friends, if we're not careful, have become our frenemies. That thought maybe at once they were with us, and all of a sudden, man, no longer with us any longer. And even as I talk about this subject, if you're finding within your heart that, man, this is a tough issue for me, or people are coming up before you right now, even as I'm talking, we need to work on that because it's become a hard issue that will not only affect you but also affect other people and who you're in a relationship with. And I just tell you, man, it's hard. This forgiveness thing can be really hard, but I promise you, if you do it, man, God's going to honor it. God's going to bless you, and God's going to take care of you, and he's going to take care of that situation. And I'd rather God take care of the mess in the situation than me living in another day. Amen, everybody? And so I think it's incredibly important, and I think this subject today is so important. But what does your friends, man, what do they spend their time talking about? You can tell a lot about a person by what they talk about. Do they spend their time talking about life things? Or life-taking things? Death or life? Do they spend their time talking about more who they're for or what they're for or who they're against or what they're against? Because I don't have time for the negativity. I need life. And I need people, man, they're going to be in this with me, in the good and the bad. They're going to say, even on my roughest days, not tell me how bad I am and not tell me, man, you deserve to stay on that ground. You deserve to stay falling out for what you did. Know that I need the kind of friends that will lift me up and dust me off and say, man, it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to work out, but we're going to help you. You don't have to do this by yourself. That's why I love small groups, because we're doing life together, having relationships. And when one struggles, we all struggle because we care and we love and we want to see people succeed. We want to see from where we're at to where God wants us to be. And I just know that we all need these relationships. And Bethany and I have these relationships in our life, and friends and pastor friends. We're in relationship with some, man. I love their marriage. That's why I'm in relationship. I want a marriage like that. We have some, man, they're great with their kids. We want to be great at that. I need people that are going to push me forward. Be life-giving. And I would also just say this. Men and women, be very careful about the relationships and even flirtatious relationships. Married couples, listen to me. One of the greatest things that's happening right now on social media is this behind-the-scene infidelity that's going on emotionally that's leading to physical affairs. It's happening at an alarming rate. True story of a man and a woman, husband and wife, that they both were doing this behind-the-scenes affair thing on Facebook. True story. And long story short, they both set up times to meet, unbeknownst to the other, that they've been cheating on each other, talking to somebody. And so they both set times to meet this person. She wants to meet this person. He wants to meet her. And so they set the times to meet, and they set the time, and they went, and they met each other. Yeah, that happened. And they got so mad that then they got a divorce. Here's what I'm saying. Be careful. And I'm just telling you right now, even in the workplace, be careful. And for some, if it's becoming flirtatious, you need to text them today and say, it is O-V-E-R. This thing is over today. I'm done. We're not doing this. No, in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Can you say amen? And I think it's why, and you got to do whatever you got to do to protect. I don't care if you got to go live with your mama. Go live with your mama to make sure that you're safe. Go live with your mama to make sure that you stay away from that mess. Whatever it takes, challenge us to do things God's way and not ours. To not practice marriage, but get married. Get committed. I had a couple a few years ago that I was in premarital counseling with. I said, I love you, but if we're going to do this right and we're going to do this God's way and you want his blessing, we're going to do it his way. And I looked at him. I said, you got to go live with your mama, because they couldn't keep their hands off each other. Love you to death, but we're going to do this right. And you know what? After that, man, he went and lived with his mama. And it was just a few months afterwards, man, they came back and they said, Pastor, thank you. This is one of the greatest decisions we ever made, to do things God's way and not our way. And waiting to have sex until we're married. Oh, come on, church. That's not just old-time preaching. That's the word of God. Amen, everybody? That's his standard for our living. Proverbs 13 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. 1 Corinthians 15, do not be deceived. Look at this. Bad company corrupts. Everybody say it. Good habits. We're trying to build uphill habits. And for some of us, if we're not careful, our company and who we're spending our time with, man, can tear us away from these good uphill habits. Here's the last part of this, and we've got to initiate some meaningful relationships. Start some that you don't have. We're on a break right now with our small groups, but in June, can I just challenge you to maybe do something that you've never done? And say, well, Pastor, I'm not the extroverted type. Well, you need to get over it. I promise you, it's part of God's equation in helping you. It's people. All right? And I wouldn't preach this unless I believe it. And so I believe it. And a lot of people won't do this. They won't take the steps towards it. I'm telling you, I believe people are sometimes one relationship away, one friend away from their lives, man, just being changed. God uses people to help bring healing, James 5:16. It's a biblical thing. God uses people to help us in our walk. I'll never forget this story. Would you guys put this up there, this picture? Yeah, so anybody know who that is with me? Who is it? Archie. All right, I'm proud of some of y'all, man. If you're an Indiana basketball fan, you better know this. If not, you just flunked the test, all right? So this is the head coach of Indiana basketball, our new coach, Archie Miller. And the cool thing about this story is we were at a football game, actually last year in Ohio State and Indiana were playing. So we went, a few guys, and went down there and watched the game. And I took some of the guys over to the practice facility because that's where it's at for me. I love Indiana basketball. I'm all about some IU basketball. And we on the climb, everybody, just so you know. I know we've been down. I'm here to tell you, we about to turn it around. Don't get me preaching on some IU basketball. But anyway, so there we were in the practice facility, and we went upstairs because it's two stories. I told the guys, hey, look who's outside there. They're getting ready to have a team dinner for the basketball team and then go to the football game. Head coach Archie Miller and his coaching staff. I looked at Kevin. I said, Kevin, this is one of my greatest opportunities to ever meet coach because ain't nobody around him. I may never have another chance like this. It's time to initiate a meaningful relationship. I said, here's my phone. He don't know me, but he's about ready to know me. And so I went out there. It's like I knew him. It's like my boy. You know, who's your nation? I said, Coach, Kyle Mills, how are you? He gets up. He said, hey, great to meet you. I said, Fort Wayne, big fan, love Indiana basketball. I said, I just want to welcome you to Indiana. So we're glad to have you as our head coach, believing for a great season, but more importantly, believing for some great years ahead of us. He said, Kyle, I like that. He said, I am too. We're excited to be here. I was just a moment, you know, just kind of man to man. And then I said, can I snap a selfie, you know? Because nobody will believe me unless I snap this selfie, coach, you know. And he was like, yeah. So I said, Kevin, come on over. Some of the guys didn't want to do it. They didn't want to bother him. I said, you'll never have an opportunity like this again unless you don't bother him. And so, man, we shook hands and went on the way. And here's what I'm saying. Man, you got to initiate relationships. I know the relationships that are in our life today are because of the relationships that we pursued. We pursued them. And for some of us, it's just like, man, why? I ain't got friends with nobody, you know. I told somebody many, many months ago, I said, are you in a small group? No. Well, no wonder you don't have friends. Sunday church can be lonely if this is all that you do. But Elevate City will mean a whole lot more to you if you get connected in small groups and do life with people, not by yourself. Come on, somebody. Amen, church. And so we only have about 60 to 70 minutes with you on the Sunday. It's not enough. We realize it's important. Hebrews says this, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another as all the more as you see the day. The day that Scripture's talking about is the last days that I believe we're in. That's why we need each other that is approaching. So I want to quickly give you four things that I think are going to help you and I. Even if you're in that place, say, man, this is hard for me, new for me, I want to help you. I do. I really, really do. This message is dedicated to those that are in a place that you realize, man, I need to initiate new relationships, meaningful ones. I want to give you some things. First of all, number one, jot it down, is develop my relationship with my church. I think this is so important. Everybody needs my church. Whether here or somewhere, you and I need a place to belong. That's why we say, man, welcome home, because we want it to be that way for people. It's not just a cute motto that we came up with. Man, we want it to be home for people. And it's interesting to me, listen, church, that there are at least 30 verses in the New Testament alone that you cannot do without the body of Christ. We need each other. Everybody say, we need each other. Look at the person next to you and say, we need each other. Look at this, Ephesians 2:19. God said it best. When you look at membership, this is what God's view of membership is. He said, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong. Doesn't matter what you did, doesn't matter what your hang-up is, doesn't matter what your issue is or the sins are, you belong here in God's household with every other Christian. You belong. Even if you're not saved today, you belong. This is a place that we dreamed about, that you could belong before you believe. That's church, everybody. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, give Jesus a better hand. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Look at the person next to you and say, you belong. Now make it personal and say, I belong. There's a bunch of people sometimes that are just attenders in church. Now listen to my heart. And it's okay for a time. Because, man, we go through issues and we go through struggles. It's okay to have some time just to breathe and sit. And I promise you will not get myself, our staff, leaders, anybody breathing down your neck. It's okay. For some of us, you need to breathe. You've been hurt. You've been through some things. You've been wounded. But you can't stay there. That's only for a season. And at some point, you've got to find your place to belong to. I can think of about 10 churches in our city that are great churches. I want to invite you to be a part of ours. If you don't have a home, man, you can belong here. But if not, man, I can recommend some to you too that are great. I got great relationships with other pastors in our city, and we do this together, not on our own. Amen, church? At some point, you got to find a place to belong. You know, Bethany and I, when we started dating, we started out as attenders. I picked her up for dates, then I dropped her back off. But then when we got married, we became members. And membership has its benefits. Glory to God. Especially in marriage. But it also has its responsibilities. And it's so much better when you make a commitment, though. I'm just telling you, God is a God who honors commitment. He loves when people get committed. For some of you, maybe you've been kicking the tires around here, just checking things out for a while, and it's okay to check things out. Check it out. Ask questions. We'll give you time for that. But we have a lot of vision for where we're going. We're praying. We're believing. We're expecting. And we're looking for members, man, who say, man, I want to go on this journey with you guys. I want to get in the trenches of our city. I want to help reach people. I don't want to just do church on Sunday. It's not enough. I want to use the gifts and the purpose and the things that God has placed in my life, and I want to go make a difference. I want to be on the front row of what God's doing in Fort Wayne. I don't want to just read about more negative things on the news. I want to be a part of it. And I think it's amazing what God is doing, and I invite you to not just attend church, but own a church. Listen, these chairs, they're your chairs. These drums, they're your drums. The piano, it's your piano. The coffee was a little late today, but it's your coffee. We didn't mess that up. Somebody else messed that up. Give us grace today. But man, y'all paid for it. This is your church. When I see trash that's in the hallway, guess what I do? Pick it up. Because man, it's my church. I'm gonna make sure it looks good. I want it to look good for you and your family. Just own it. Own it. Are you with me today? And that's why I tell people all the time, give us 1 year of your life. And at the end of that 1 year, if your life has not been changed or impacted, I will drive and find a new church with you. That's how much I believe in what God is doing and what he's given us to do here. Second thing is, I got to develop my relationship with godly friends. And here's a very, because it's a term that's used, man, right relationships. But what does it look like? Great question. Here's how you know if they're godly. That being around them makes you more godly. That they are lifting you up, not pulling you down. If it's a weight and a struggle for every time you're with them, it's probably time to redefine that relationship. In the New Testament, they would have Sunday gatherings like this, but then they would also have home-to-home gatherings, small groups. That's why we do it. It's the New Testament style, and it works. Acts 2:44, all believers met together, look at that, constantly. Because we can't do this life alone. God knew it. That's why he put it into effect and wants us to buy in and shared everything with each other, because we've all been through things. I can learn from your struggles. You can learn from my struggles. That's why I love small groups. That's why I love hearing what God's doing and what happened through our freedom groups and other ones. And here's the secret to small groups. The secret to small groups is really to the comfort level of your sharing. You say, man, share what? Share you. And give it a couple weeks. And you'll begin to see, man, people are there. They're real. They want to do life with you. But here's what I've learned. I am in trouble if I'm the only one that knows my secrets. And we need a place where we are comfortable enough to take off the mask and be honest about what's going on. Third thing is develop my relationship with a team. Man, I love being on teams. We can do so much more together than we can on our own. We have an amazing dream team that serves on our Sundays. It's possible. Every weekend's possible because we have nearly 100 people that are having, you know, and getting the opportunity to be a part of what God's doing and serving. And we aren't just accomplishing a goal. We're on a team. And can I just tell you, you will never do anything significant in your life alone. We need each other. The church is the most powerful force on the planet, man, that God put into effect. Ecclesiastes says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes are not content with his wealth. Two are better than one, but they have a good return for their labor. And I just know, you know, I'll just share this very quickly. One of our teams that serves every third Sunday, if we have that, you can put it up, our adopt a block. Every third Sunday. And we're serving every week. And as we're serving every week, or every third Sunday, they're consistently going down in the Weiser Hannah Creighton area park. And one of our teams have been down there. Our teams have been down there and helping to paint a woman's home. And while they're serving on the team, they came across a need that the woman had. This right here in Fort Wayne. And the woman had a tumor and didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And so I just love the faith of our team. Because how many know our God's a healer? Let me say it again. Our God's a healer, everybody. And so they said, man, let's just pray. Let's just pray. And so they got done painting her house and doing the things that they needed to do. And afterwards, they laid hands on her and they prayed for God to do a miracle. And so a few weeks went by and our team reached back out to her. This is a woman that can't come to our church because of her limitations. And we're trying to figure that out. And so how to get people and how to help them in that area. And I think we're getting real close to answering that question sooner than we think. And reached back out to her, and she said, you'll never believe it. I went to the doctor for my next biopsy, and they said the tumor was gone. Oh, come on, somebody. Jesus is the healer, everybody. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what's happening. But that woman's life has just been changed by the power of God. And through serving, has seen God is real, and his love is real. And I believe this. Listen, Elevate City, man, we're doing great. We're doing fine. We're doing great. Man, the coffee finally got here and it was served. I had the worship team. They did great. Our kids' ministry is in full effect. But again, man, we need you, but I really think you need us too. And here's the final thing, and we're going to pray, is we got to develop our relationship with God. Can I just say this at this moment here with you? Have you ever imagined what life would be like if you really went all in with God? I'm going to say it again. Have you ever imagined what life would be like if you went all in with God? You know, I've noticed something about people, and I've been in this a while. There's a lot of people, unfortunately, that just try God. And it's not enough to just to try God, and people get frustrated at God and they blame him. But God is not a genie in a bottle, you guys. God is a God of relationship, not a God to be controlled or manipulated. And he will not be manipulated. He's a God who wants to build relationship. And sometimes I've learned this personally. And this isn't a scare tactic, but this is a reality. Because God has a call on your life. He's got a responsibility that he's placed in our hands. And sometimes if you and I don't respond to God's urge to go all in, he allows a crisis. He doesn't create it. Don't misunderstand that. Sometimes he'll allow something to get our attention. And I've just learned this, man. I don't want a crisis to have to wake me up. I don't want that. I want to go all in today with God. And you can't really fully understand all of who God is until you try it and go all in with him. And I promise you won't be disappointed. Jeremiah 29:13, end with this, says this verse, that if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me with all of your heart. For all of your heart. I'm just saying, even today, for some of us, I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. Maybe as I was praying yesterday, I was in here alone after prayer, praying for you guys, and I really felt a burden for some of us. It's just like, man, we're struggling with prayerlessness. Maybe the fire is not lit like it used to be, but it needs to be. And I would challenge you to start doing some things that you've never done. Take these messages, learn them, apply them, and start making the necessary changes. Listen, I don't want to just talk about changing a city. I want to see it happen. I don't want to just, man, because if that's all it is, I'll pack my bags, man. I'm good. But I want to see God move in a powerful way, and I believe we're a part of something that is seeing God move in a greater way, and I believe our greatest days are literally right in front of us. I know it is. I know the love of our God. For some of us, we need prayer. Run to Saturday morning prayer, 9 to 10. Say, well, Pastor, oh, man, 9 a.m., ooh, Saturday. Man, get your butt up, all right? And get to prayer, and if you're still tired, go to sleep when you get home. Like, for real. We got a city to change, and this is a spiritual fight. This is a spiritual war. And I know people work and things come. I get it. But man, if you're in a place that you just want more of God, I just encourage you. I want to invite you to go all in with God. I want to encourage you to do the one thing that'll change your life, and that's just going all in with Him. Would you bow your head where you're at? God, we love you. And more than anything else today, we want your power and your presence. God, over this last month in April, in this series, Holy Spirit, I know that you have been challenging us in such a powerful way. But Father, let it now be shifted from information to revelation to application. That God, that we would apply now the things that you are teaching us and you've shown us in this month. I truly believe some of the things that we have shared in this month can help shift you from this long, dreary season that some of us have been in, into the place that God has for you next. There's so much more. There is so much more. There is so much more for you. There is so much more for you. This is not it. God's best is in front of you. And so, Father, I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name, the will and the purpose of God to prevail in our life, that we would seek after you, that we would run after you with everything within us. In Jesus' name, we're going to go all in. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, all over this place, with every head bowed, all eyes closed. If that's you, you say, man, I'm ready to go all in with God. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand unashamed, unashamed. Say, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to go all in. Come on, one, two, three. Come on, all over this place. Say, man, I'm going all in. I'm going all in. I'm going all in. Yeah, yeah, got you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Going all in. Going all in. Come on, say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus. Come on, if you raise your hand, we're going to pray with you. Say, Jesus, I'm ready to go all in. Forgive me of my sins. And I declare my yesterdays are over. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for saving me. In the name of Jesus, amen.